everything that I need is found in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are no limitations. There are no barriers. Take the lid off. Break out the box. Let's do this thing.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us today as we continue to look at Joshua chapter 1 in our message entitled Takers. You know, Pastor, I think many people may be quick to quote scripture. I mean, what we just heard there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and try and find some encouragement in that. It's one thing to know that Bible verse, to even say you believe that Bible verse. It's quite another to live that verse out, to truly believe that. And I think some of us may struggle to really believe, I can do all things? What, how come when I try to do things, they don't get done? How come God isn't answering my prayer in the way I want? All things for real?
Yeah, all things. And here's what we have to realize. We have to line ourselves up with the Word of God and just stay there. I like to say it this way. The word can't isn't in the dictionary of deity. Now let me just go on record as saying you're absolutely correct. There are certain areas where I apply this verse and I'm strong. I believe God. But then there are other areas where it seems like it's a marshmallow promise. It's cotton candy. And you know, cotton candy isn't cotton and it isn't candy. You put it in your mouth and it disappears, leaves a sweet taste, but you get no nutritional value. And sometimes it happens that way. But let me tell you this, Steve, it's always because of our lack of faith. The Word of God, God has given us the word. He says things like this in John 15:3. Now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Isaiah 55:11. So shall it be the word that goeth forth from my mouth. It will always accomplish that which I set for it to do. It will never return unto me void. So the word of God, we can stand on it. Now what has to happen? There are certain areas where our faith has to be built up. But how do you build faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing. So you see how it all comes together?
Yeah. We need to be making sure that we're in the word of God. And as we've been talking about earlier, rightly discerning the promises that apply to us. I remember a number of years ago having some friends who thought, okay, my husband is sick. He is dying. And they were told by some prosperity preacher, if your faith was strong enough, he will be healed. He was a godly man who died anyway. And that rocked the widow's faith for a season. Yeah. You know, you need to understand what promises in scripture actually are ours.
Right. And God's sovereignty comes into play.
Sure.
Because for that person, that was the sovereign will of God. I like to say it this way. God heals everybody. You know, he heals everybody. Some of us down here, all of us up there.
Yeah.
And we have to know his will. 1 John 5:14-15 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so we have to discern, what is your will in this area?
Yeah.
That job, what is your will in that area? That relationship, that sickness, whatever it is, God, what is your will? Now, I will say this, that God will speak to us, you know, when we desire to know. But most of the time, we don't want to know it.
Very often.
If I'm sick, I just want to be healed. But then he told Paul, he said, this sickness is for the glory of God, 2 Corinthians 12. You know, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah. And that's where many of us
don't like. We've been reading the same Bible.
And many of us don't like that answer.
No.
But that's how he does answer at times. Well, today we're in Joshua chapter 1 as we continue this message entitled Takers. Here's Pastor Ford.
What if the songs we used to sing, we don't sing them anymore. But what if the truth would be known? There's a song called Sweet Hour of Prayer. We don't pray 5 minutes. There's a song, Onward Christian Soldier. We got to be drafted, and then we go AWOL. There will be showers of blessing. That's the title of a song. And we don't come to church when it rains. Blessed be the tie that binds. And we take that tie and try to hang each other with it. Yeah, serve the Lord with gladness. Yeah, and we gripe about what we do for him. We are marching to Zion, but we don't march to Sunday school and the Wednesday night Bible study. I love to tell the story, but never witness or invite anybody to come to church. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. We're not there when the roll is called down here.
Wow.
Now, here's my point. Get this. If God gave you a prompt, his plan didn't change. It's not a roller coaster. He doesn't capitulate. That we got to get in there, hang in there, and hold on to what God has promised. He says, I want you to go in there. Don't listen to him. Don't. Why? 470 years, it hasn't changed. It's the same. Write down Jonah 1 and Jonah 3 if you're taking notes. Here's what happened. Go to Nineveh, chapter 1. So he goes to Tarshish, which is 2,000 miles. If he would have went to Nineveh, it's 500 miles. So he went four times as far to get out of the will of God as he would have done to stay in the will of God. Then he had a fish experience, and that's what many of us need. That's a problem because some people, listen, some people are motivated by a pat on the back. Some are only motivated by a foot in their behind. And so that's what it took for Jonah. And come on now, that's what it takes for a whole lot of us. And so God said, chapter 2, foot in the behind. In chapter 3, here's what it says. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again. Arise, go to Nineveh and preach. Same words. Plan didn't change, but it took the fish because God's not trying to change the circumstance. He's trying to change our mind and the way we look at it. That's what he's trying to do. So let me finish this up. I said I was only going to do one point. So why did God have to urge Joshua to respond to his plan? Here it is. Here it is. People, past, and problems. Let me drop them. I'm not going to push them. You've been here long enough. Number one, people. Moses' name is prominent, and I got some information on that, but I'm going to let that go. I was going to tell you that his name is in this chapter more than 3 times, in the book of Joshua more than 60 times. Moses, 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 Moses. Here's what it says. Moses, my servant, is dead. And so Deuteronomy 31, they're mourning the death of Moses. It said they mourn for 30 days. Here's what God is saying. He is dead. I am alive. Get going. John Wesley's gravestone says this. He's one of the ones that started the Great Awakening. It says, God buries his workers, but his work goes on. That's on his tombstone. That's right. And that's what God is telling him. Hey, listen, he's dead. They've been mourning 30 days. Tell them to get up and get over there and claim that promise. One monkey don't stop my show. Now get this. Let me give one illustration. I have about 3 of them. Just give one. Can I give one? Say give one. Okay, thank you for your permission. Chapter 1 of Isaiah. Was he a believer? Yes. Was he preaching? Yes. What's it say in chapter 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Now get this. He didn't see the Lord in all of his glory until Uzziah died, which means then for 5 chapters of preaching, he's preaching, but not in the fullness of knowing who God is. So what happens? Uzziah had to, there's something about Uzziah, I don't have time to tell you about him, you ought to read about him, he was a great king, that usurped his vision of God. Now, he didn't need to use the word also, that preposition, but here's what it means. Here's what it means. He died, and at the same time, I saw God. Here's my point, I'm going to make it and move on. What Uzziah is keeping you from fullness of God? What Uzziah? You know why I asked you that? Because Uzziah has to die before you see God in his fullness. Well, ask somebody, who's your Uzziah? Well, ask somebody, what's your Uzziah? Don't have to be a person. And so what happens? Man, God says, listen, get people out of the way. You heard about 2 lions in heaven? I got to tell you about it. 2 lions in heaven, you know. And there was 1 lion, and there was like hundreds of millions of men in that line. The sign said, men who were dominated by their wives on earth. Then there was another line with a sign that said, men who were never dominated by their wives on earth. And that line where men were dominated by their wives on earth, Pastor Betts was there. I was there. Brother Yarborough was there. The newlywed, Minister Swims was there. We was all in that line. Well, then all the men in this church that were married were in there. And there was only one person in the other line. It was Pastor Green. So they said, Pastor Ford, go over there and ask Pastor Green. We all in this line that said everybody was dominated by their wives on earth, and he's the only one over there that was never dominated by his wife. Go over there and see how it is. He got to be over in that line by himself. I said, Elder Green, the guys want me to ask you, why are you over here? Elder Green said, I don't know. I'm just standing where my wife told me to stand. All I got to say is, who has to die before you believe God? Now, it could be this. Why is he so intimidated? Because Moses was big. Moses was, he's the lawgiver. He was his servant. What's the first line? Moses' servant. He was the assistant. Now he's stepping in some big shoes, and he might be afraid. You know what? I'm going here and try to take him across Jordan, and you're going to tell me to tell the people to put their foot in, and they're going to say, we a rod-stretching church. See, under Moses, we ain't stepped no foot in no water. Moses came to the water, and he raised the rod. You know what that means? There are people who are afraid to do what they've already done. There are people who only want to do what they've always done. And you got individuals who are coming in. I told you last week, I'm going to say it again. Some of us got to be very careful because we see new people sometimes as an intrusion when God gave them to us as an infusion. Got to be careful. And so what do you mean? He could have said all that. Let me give it to you. Let me give it to you and get you on out of here. Then the second one is the past. He represents the past. And they're saying, man, we haven't done it this way before. I mean, every time I make a change, somebody asks me a question. When I made a change, because the Bible says we ought to have elders, and we had elders and deacons instead of deacons and trustees, and we got rid of trustees, and I got a call from one of my good friends. You went Pentecostal? What do you mean? You're Elder Ford and Elder Ward? And I said, I didn't go Pentecostal. I went Bible. I went Bible. The Bible says. That's what it says. Is anybody here that believes the Bible? Oh, amen, amen, amen. And so here it is, break out the box. Why? Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his mighty working power in us. What are you talking about, Pastor Ford? The Great Commission, it is ours. Go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folk, listen. Now there's some good things about the past, but the past has a tendency to drag us in it. I was in the store and I was shopping. This was last week. And on the box, it came on. It was Heat Wave. And me and the cart just start tearing it up. I was bumping with the cart, going down the aisle, bumping with the cart. Then I heard, Pastor Ford, what you doing? I said, oh, I got a little crick in my back. I've been watching you all the whole aisle. You went back. I said, you're right, I went back. Yeah, and it drew me back. And it wasn't all good stuff it drew me back to. Here's the last one. He says, in spite of the problem, he says, this Jordan, okay, check this out. If I said this pulpit, you know what that means? I'm pointing to it. God is pointing to the Jordan. Now, what do you know about the Jordan at this time? It's swelling. He's pointing to where he's got to go and cross to get to his promise. He's pointing to it, but right now it's overflowing and can't be crossed. Don't miss that. I don't have to explain everything, do I? No, you got that. He's pointing to that provision that's across that problem. This Jordan, there's the problem. Now, here it is. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do whatever you can. And then what you can't do, I can. And then, so you come to the river. That's what he tells them in chapter 3. You come to the river, stop there because you can't go any further. And then I'll take over. But get this, I want you to put your foot in it while it's overrunning. Don't wait until the problem's over. You step on it before the problem's over because you trust God to deal with the problem. And when they stepped in the water became a wall.
This is Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, really pointing out the importance of just understanding what God has called us to do and then walking or acting in obedience. I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel that little nudge in the spirit to support some type of ministry, and maybe you're considering giving a gift to Treasure Truth. If you're kind of feeling that little nudge right now and you'd like to give a gift of support so we can continue to bring you Pastor Ford's teaching each day, just come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on the donate button. Well, let's get back to the message. Once again, Pastor Ford.
What you have here in this particular book is you have Joshua as the Jesus who's taken us through sanctification. See, Pharaoh represents the devil, and Egypt represents the world, and making brick without straw represents how sin dogs you out. And then the Red Sea represents salvation. Why? Because you cross over the Red Sea, and you come across on dry land. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. They're going into a new land. It's new everything. And so the Red Sea then closes. Why? Because our salvation is separated by the cross of Jesus Christ on which he died. So the Red Sea represents that salvation. Those who are unbelievers died and they're going to hell because of the cross, and we are alive. We can never go back because justification is once and for all. It's done by God. Therefore, even when they talked about going back, they couldn't go back because who was going to open up the Red Sea? Now they wander in the wilderness. That represents betweeners. Say betweeners. What's a betweener? It's a person who is really saved, but ain't living like it because they're stuck between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. The Holy Spirit is resident Good Friday, but he's not president Resurrection Sunday. So they're in-betweeners. They're living a carnal life, which is represented by wandering in the wilderness and unbelief and not taking the possessions and the promise of God. But then Joshua represents Jesus in sanctification, where he says, come unto me, all you laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's justification. Take my yoke upon you. Take, be a taker. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest. That's Canaan rest. That's complete rest. And so here it is, consecrated rest. And so you can have that rest. But he gets them across, because Canaan is not a picture of heaven, because you don't fight in heaven. Now, we fight in church, but you don't fight in heaven. So what's he saying? Here it is. You don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. So it's Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on all of it. Now get this. And I close. And you've been so gracious. During my summer vacation, I went to different churches. I went to four different churches. Some of the young up and coming preachers, I went to their churches. One of them was Charlie Date's church. And when I go, I sit in the back and they say, that's Pastor Ford back there. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm on vacation. Well, come and pray for us. No, I'm sticking right back here. I'm not saying anything. I'm not doing anything. And they say, well, you on vacation? Yeah, because if I'm a good pastor, I need a break from them. And if I'm a poor pastor, they need a break from me. I say, both of them's going on. And then he closed and I said, I'm using that. I'm using that when I go back. He said, when he came there, he's only been there 3 years and God has taken him from 100 to 1,000 in 3 years. That man, that's great growth. And so he said when he went in, there was a big awkward piano on the stage and they needed more stage. So he said, man, I need to get rid of that piano. But he found out that that piano was 78 years old and some of the members had given their money to get that piano. So he knew as a wise pastor, if you move that piano, they're going to throw you up out of here. Amen. Because some things you just don't touch. You doing sitting in my seat? I've been sitting in that seat for 25 years. I've been sitting in that seat long as Pastor Ford been a pastor at this church. You in my seat. And so he said, well, let's fix it. So he called a piano company. They came in and looked at it and they said, tell you what, we'll give you a brand new electric baby grand piano and some money. Just give us that. He wasn't born. He was born at night, but not last night. I said to myself, wait a minute. They're going to give me a brand new electric baby grand piano and money for this old thing? Uh-uh. So guess who he called? He called in the same guy that fixes our stuff, the old guy from Indiana. He came in and he said, let me tell you, this piano, they wanted to give me this. He said, let me see. He opened the, what do you call that thing? This. The lid. I thought it had to go. He opened the lid. He looked in. He said, uh-huh. He said, let me tell you something, Pastor. Don't you sell that piano. He said, it's worth more than three or four brand new baby grand pianos and money broke. He said, well, when he just looked at it, he said, no, you missed it. He said, I looked in there. It didn't look like anything to me. He said, let me show you what you missed. And he looked in there, and you know what he missed? The name. The name in the piano was Steinway. It was a handcrafted, handmade piano worth about $200,000. Broke. What's the name of this book? Joshua. Do you know what the equivalent is in the New Testament? Jesus. It means the same. In Hebrew, Yahweh is Savior, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. His name means Yahweh is Savior. Do you know what you have in the name? There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's joy and peace in the name of Jesus. And so that's the name. We can possess it. Why? Because everything we want, John 15, if you ask anything in my name, all I do is get a checkbook from heaven and I write in the name of Jesus. Lord, I claim this in the name of Jesus. That's the name. Oh, you know Jesus, the one who spoke to nothing and nothing listened to his voice until nothing that was not became everything that is. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, the one in Hebrews 11:3 that said he spoke the worlds into existence. He said, light be, and light was, the Jesus. The one who made wet water come out of a dry rock, Jesus. That's the one. Yeah, the one who turned a waterway into a parkway and a freeway. Yeah, Jesus, that's the name. That's the name that's above every name. Jesus, yeah, the one who turned some sardines and some crackers into a Moby Dick sandwich. Jesus, the great provider, the one who turned a praise team into the United Forces of the United States of America. Jesus, yeah, that one who said, everything that you need is found in me. In his life, Jesus is our example, 1 Peter 2:21. In his death, Jesus is our redeemer, 1 Corinthians 15:3. In his burial, Jesus is our scapegoat, Romans 4:25. In his bodily resurrection, he's our justification, Romans 4:25. Jesus didn't break out of the tomb. Jesus walked out of the tomb. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. In his ascension, he is the head of the church. Colossians 1, 18 and 19. In his second coming, he's the hope of the believer, the blessed hope. And for all of eternity, Jesus is our God and King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Everything that I need is found in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are no limitations. There are no barriers. Take the lid off. Break out the box. Come on, Christ Bible. Let's do this thing. It's in the name of Jesus that we need to do it. Come on, help me call that name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because there's power in that name. There's redemption in that name. There's salvation in that name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen.
Amen indeed. Well, you're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message entitled Takers from Joshua chapter 1. Love how no matter where Pastor Ford is in the Bible, all the way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, he's beaten a path to Jesus because it is all about him. Well, I'm glad that you've tuned in today. And if you ever miss part of this series entitled Takers from Joshua 1, come to our website, listen online. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for listening today. And thanks to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.